Please turn our Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and today we are looking at verses 1, right? Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, all the way to chapter 4, verse 3. And the topic of our discussion today is divine providence in labor. Well, we live in a society that celebrates the stories of rags to riches. And we love the stories of the near impossible. We love to hear accounts of how people struggle through life. They work very hard. They triumph against the odds. And in the end, they are very successful. You realize that many of the award-winning shows, they have this theme. And we love this theme because somehow we find stories like this very encouraging. And so society and the world at large keep telling us, yes, work very hard, and when you work very hard, you will be very successful. But the problem is this. Sometimes when people work very hard, success, as defined by that of the world, doesn't seem to come. And another problem is this. That a person who works very hard and in the end very successful will become very puffed up in his head and will go about proclaiming that his achievements are due to his intelligence and labor that he has put in. Well, that is what the world proclaims. And so people look at these stories, they look at this proud man going about claiming, I did it my way, and then I'm successful. And they look at these successful companies and these people attempting to do their various business startups. They attempt to learn the principles from this company. Oh, company A, company B, Microsoft, Apple, Google, whatever. All these companies. I learned the principles of leadership from these places, principles of management, their business models, or how they can be so innovative. I try to apply in the company and I work very hard and then become successful. And yet, in the end, they realized a lot of times due to very adverse circumstances, no matter how they try, they are never successful. Why is that so? Well, that is because though men labor, whether or not a person in the end will be successful, very much depends on divine providence. And what the people of the world fails to acknowledge is that the hand of God is in everything. A person may work very hard, but if God so determines that his lot in life is never to be among the rich and famous and the powerful, he will never be. And some, though they may not struggle so hard in life, yet God has allotted them to be born into families full of riches, and they grow up in life never really having to put in much to have food on the table and to enjoy the luxuries of this world. Yes, divine sovereignty and divine providence, that is something we need to realize. And this divine sovereignty and this divine providence, as we will see later, and we will also apply it later, right, you will see that it also applies to the church, and also into ministry. And this is exactly what we see down here. in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. The thrust of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, though many verses down here, the thrust really is in verse 1. And what does Solomon proclaim in verse 1? Well, here Solomon says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Now, in fact, in this particular verse, if you study it in the original, you will realize that the emphasis is on the words season and time. To everything there is a season, and the time, right, is found purposely in the middle of the verse, right, to tell us to focus on this season, time. And these words, season and time, tells us that all the various occurrences in this life, all the various happenings to a person, are all appointed by God. There is this appointed time, allotted time, a time in which God says, this thing will happen, I have decreed it to happen, and it will happen. And is that not true? And so Solomon very poetically refers us to the various things that happens in life. Look, those of you here of to whom I am preaching, to the assembly, observe these occurrences in life. Firstly, is there not a time to be born? Well, those of you who are mothers, you will know this, right? Usually, a pregnancy is about 9 months, but we know that sometimes the baby does not come out at the expected time, right? Usually, those who are first-time pregnancy, they will come out a little earlier. And later on, maybe they are closer to the 9 months period, but then sometimes, even then, it does not follow according to the scheme. Sometimes you wish the baby can come out fast because mother is in labor or mother is in great pain. Baby refuses to come out. Not the time. But sometimes when the baby wants to come out, even if you are on the travel and then boom, the water bag bursts, time to come out, time to come out. You cannot tell a baby, hey wait, he's coming out soon. There is and all these occurrences. Please do not just view it as an accident. It is the appointed time for a person to be born. Now, how many of you down here chose your birth date? Anyone of you here choose your birth date? How many of you wish you had been born on another day? Oh, I wish I born a little earlier or a little later. So those who are born on 31st of December, 2359. I will always be the youngest in the cohort. Oh, I don't want to be youngest in the cohort. I want to be the oldest in the cohort. So I want to be born 1 minute later, 1st of January, 12 midnight, plus 1 minute. You cannot choose. If that is the time appointed by God for you to be born, you will be born. And for me, I also have an appointed day of my birth. I will not reveal what is my birth date. Suffice to say that if you are, we don't believe in superstitious down here, but most of the Chinese would like my birth date very much, so they probably won't want to change. But you cannot choose. That time for you to be born, you will be born. And the same goes also, right, with respect to death, isn't it? A time to be born and a time to die. Nobody can choose when he's supposed to die. I have friends who are very healthy, very strong, and then they are going about their athletics training, and then suddenly they can just drop dead. Very strong, very healthy. But then when God says time's up, he goes. Just recently, in fact, just yesterday, I attended a wake of of a particular person, not a member of Tabernacle, but a member of another BP church. And this was a very elderly person, 90 plus. And this elderly lady never believed. But just 2 weeks ago, she was invited to, because she had a heart attack before that, and then they more or less know that she's, anytime she can go, because the doctor says another time to have a heart attack, and then she will go. But then after that she had this heart attack and whatever, she appears pretty normal, pretty healthy, still walking about. And then people try to share with her the gospel. She don't want to listen. Then suddenly, 2 weeks ago, she told the family, "Hey, I want to go to church." And then when she went, and then when people ministered to her the gospel, she believed. And then just 3 days ago, the Lord took this old lady home to glory. Oh, appointed time. Once she heard, appointed time. Time to go, you go. And no choice. So there is a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Well, this is definitely from agriculture. You cannot just plant at any time. There is an appropriate season for you to do your planting. You don't do your planting during the winter. You do a planting during a time where, depending on the crop, some crops they need a time where it's drier, then you plant. Sometimes you need a little bit of wet soil, so a little bit of slight rain, then you plant. Right, so depending on it, there is an appropriate time to do your planting and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Then, even then, all these seasons for planting and to pluck up that which is planted, are they not determined by God? Yeah, of course they are, isn't it? And no country, no farmer can have a choice and say, "Oh, I want my springtime to shift another 3 months later." No, God determines that this is the appointed time. And so, you move along with the time. A time to kill and a time to heal. Yes, there's a time where you need to fight wars, legitimate times, and then you need to fight. Then there's a time where you need to heal, right? Maybe physical healing, maybe spiritual healing, whatever the case, there are these appointed times. A time to break down and a time to build up. Well, a time to break down. Well, sometimes certain buildings are very old, you just need to break down, right? You cannot maintain any longer. So that's why in Singapore, certain buildings, no matter how historical and how much people feel so nostalgic about it, if it's time to go, it's time to go. You have to break it down. But then when you break down, then these people who used to live there, they need to go somewhere to live, right? So there is also a time and a place to build new flats, new buildings. Right? So a time to break down and a time to build. A time to weep, yes, when it is a vigil service, when it is when certain sad events occur, we weep with those who weep. Right? You don't go there and then you, when they are weeping and then you cry and then you laugh. Very insensitive. You don't do that. Right? You are supposed to weep with those that weep. But then when they are laughing and when it's a time of rejoicing, everybody is happy for a legitimate reason, right? For a godly reason. You don't go there and then suddenly start crying in their midst and then try making everybody very sad. No, there are appropriate times for this. So in the vigil service, it's a time for weeping and a time for comforting people. And then when it comes to the church anniversary, for example, we rejoice in the goodness and faithfulness of God. It's a time to be joyful. Right? So there are these appointed times. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Right? Self-explanatory, go on to verse 5. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. Again, taken from agriculture. Right, a time to cast away stones talks about grounds that are very fallow. There's no way it can be fertile anymore, and so you cast the stones to tell people, no, don't use this land anymore. Right, you destroy that particular farmland. And a time to gather stones together, well, this talks about a farmer looking for new land to explore. This land looks fertile. Time to get all the stones out and then begin farming. Right, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Right, you meet with someone coming from overseas, that is the appointed time for you to embrace someone. But sometimes there are people whom you really cannot embrace. Right, if you embrace, you are really showing a wrong message to someone. For example, somebody is in sin and refuses to repent. You don't go and embrace that person. Right, so Well, there are appointed times for all this. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to get is a time to seek, to go seeking for something. And the time to lose, well, you look at Job. When God gave permission for Job to lose everything, lose all his possessions, Job cannot say, I want to keep. Everything is taken from him. Well, there are these appointed times by God. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, like now you are keeping silence, right? You don't speak now when the sermon is on. And because it is a time to hear, right? The Lord is in his holy temple, like all the earth keep silence before him, or time to keep silence to hear what God has to say. And there's also a time to speak. You go down to the fellowship hall, everybody is having fellowship, and then somebody comes and desires that you hear him, and then you know, God placed this person for you to encourage. Well, there's of course a time to speak up. A time to love, a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Wow, everything is in its appointed time, and all this appointed time, please do not think that it is by accident. It is all under God's sovereign control. And so what this tells us is this. If let's say you go to work and then suddenly one day unexpectedly that you work very hard and then somebody tells you that you are the next high flyer, you will surely be promoted, and then suddenly the next day, oh, our company has just been affected by the current Brexit crisis. It is time for us to fall. I'm sorry. What does that mean? Well, that means that this is God's timing for you to go, right? That is no longer the place for you to work. And yes, in the eyes of the world, well, the people will feel very unjustified. I worked so hard to get into this top bank, this top company, IT company, this energy company or whatever place, and yet in the end, I worked myself thinking that I would get to the very top, and now the company is folded. Now you just ask all those who work at California Fitness. Suddenly they are told, oh, bye-bye. I worked so hard and then bye-bye. And then yet this is the case. All these things happen not by chance. All these things happen by God's divine providence. And the same goes with respect to any ministry that is here on this earth. Any ministry that the Lord places us to be, to look after. Well, if it's the time for the ministry to be open, it will remain open. There will be open doors. Doesn't mean there won't be obstacles, but there will be open doors. And there you labor, there you plow on. And not only just that, but we have to also understand that whether or not there is fruit in this ministry also depends upon God. Depends upon God. Just a few weeks ago at the church anniversary, you would have heard the speaker saying how often there may be preaching of God's word, and you would think that there would be fruit, and yet there is no change. Why? Why? That is because even the convicting of the hearts of the people, right, comes from God. Only God can convict the heart of the hearers about the truth of his word. And so a person can keep laboring, preaching and preaching, and the person may preach faithfully, and yet there may still be no change. There may still be no fruit, because in God's divine sovereignty, under God's divine providence, no change. On the other hand, sometimes, well, people may go out to evangelize. Evangelize, go door to door. None of those people will receive the tracts or which you speak to, they come to church. But then suddenly, there can be a few people who goes into the church website, type, and then say, oh, there is a church here, and then they can come in, and they are now here in church, listening to God's word. And these are people in which they have not gone out to evangelize to. God just bring them in. Recently in the one Bible study, there was this new girl who came in. And this new girl was actually from the Seventh-day Adventist. Yeah, she told me, Seventh-day Adventist. And now she's attending a BP church. So I asked her, how do you go from Seventh-day Adventist to a BP church? Oh, she said, I don't know. Just one day, I just decided to walk. And one day, I saw this church nearby. I just walk in, and then I attended a service. So now I'm in this BP church. God arranged that to happen. And so, how do we respond to this? Well, man in his twisted mind will say this, right? Look at verse 9. Don't respond in this way. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he hath labored? Oh, since I know in that case, everything is determined, predetermined by God. You see, a lot of times people like to use the word predetermined by God. Okay, since all things are by divine providence. Whether the fruit of the hands will be blessed with success, inverted comma, their own definition of success, right? Success as defined by the world. Then, okay, what for I work? Because if I work, then in the end, God says, no success, I will not have a success. Okay, then no work, no profit, no point in working, stop working. That is how a twisted mind would think. And then they say, oh, stop being diligent. I want to be lazy. But one thing you will find in the book of Ecclesiastes is this. Like the book of Ecclesiastes never encouraged people to be lazy. In fact, the book of Ecclesiastes, one very clear message inside of this book is that a person must work hard. But work hard with the right perspective, work hard always with God in view. So should we understand matters? Well, look at verse 10. I have seen the travail which God has given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. Well, this hard work that you see, this labor we see the whole world being engaged in is all part of the curse which God has laid upon in the world, that man should toil very hard in order to have fruit in his hands. And to be very troubled, to be very wearisome of the work in which they have in. Both a curse as well as to prevent them from working, their mind to be engaged in very much more evil. So this was given to them, for them to be exercised in it, to be fully engaged in it. And yes, everything that happens in the world, God is in control. Each and every step is under His decrees, and because His decrees will go on unopposed. So, therefore, Solomon wrote here, he had made everything beautiful in his time. In other words, everything that is in God's plan, God's decrees, it will surely happen, it will surely fall in place. And what he did also is this. He has allowed man, to have the world to be set in the heart. In other words, man has this curiosity to want to engage himself and explore the things that are in the world, and not just in their age, but it's also in the age to come. And so they will go about in their work, but in the end, they are none the wiser. Right? They cannot find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. There's only a limit to how much they can know, and after that, that's the end of them. But what about the Christian? What should be his right perspective? Look at verse 12. I know. Okay, Solomon. I know that there is no good in them but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. In other words, the right way to respond to the divine providence of God is this. Right? commit yourselves to doing good. Of course, this doing good is not what Solomon is teaching here. It's not salvation by works. But as a Christian and as one who is one who has given your life fully to the Lord Jesus Christ, that your whole life should be committed to doing good works for Christ. What God says is good in His word, that you do. I commit yourself to it. And whatever God gives to you in your life, whatever He gives to you for your possession, whatever He gives on the table for you to eat, whether He gives you, in the eyes of the world, He gives you much, or in the eyes of the world, He gives you little, inverted comma, well, just know this, that that is your lot in life, is given for you to enjoy in a godly way. Enjoy not meaning that you waste your time away, but enjoy the fruit of your labor, enjoy using it for the Lord's glory, enjoy it as what the Lord has given for you to possess and to find great joy in. That is the biblical perspective of how we should approach divine providence in labor. And so, if you work and then the Lord gives you, for example, some success in your workplace, and then the Lord, you work hard, you work with integrity, you do it because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Lord grants you a promotion. Okay, by all means, enjoy what the Lord has given to you. And remember to give Him thanks. But in the end, if you work so hard, and the Lord decides that you should not have any promotion, and in the end, you may even find yourself to be demoted, how then should you approach matters? Do you then go and then blame God and then complain against God because of what has happened in your life? You have to realize that that is also the divine providence of God. That is His Lord for you, and so therefore, what you should do is to answer the way Lord answers. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And whatever you have given to me as the Lord in my life, I know is for my enjoyment. This is for my own good, and therefore I do, because I know that all things work together for good to them that love God. There is nothing on this earth that happens that will work out for evil for the believer. But of course, that is for the believer. If you are not a believer, then the reverse is true. The reverse is true. But if you are a child of God, then yes, all things work together for good to them that love God. Even the so-called things that may appear bad in the eyes of the world, that is also for the believer's good. It's to work out God's plan in your life. It is His divine plan. And whatever He gives to you, from you work very hard, that is your human responsibility. Whatever is in God's sovereignty that is given to you, that you enjoy. But the important thing is, you must acknowledge there is such an element called divine sovereignty and divine providence in labor. You need to understand that. And when, therefore, the Lord has seen fit, let's say, to grant you success in, because you have worked hard and He seen fit to grant you success in that particular area, please never, never forget God and then turn around and say, this success which I have achieved is because of my own intellect and because I did it my way. And that is true, not just in terms of out there in the workplace. Even in the church, it is also the same. Because sometimes the Lord may see fit to bring some fruit into the church. Sometimes the Lord may see fit to bring fruit in terms of a Bible study or in terms of a fellowship group. Or the Lord may use you in certain ways to encourage a person or anything. The way we should respond to such situations is this. We should never ever think that we are somebody, but always acknowledge the cooperative will of God. And that was written in the weekly a few weeks ago. Cooperative will of God. I being the way, the Lord led me there. The Lord led me there. I was just in the way. I was just the instrument which God used in order to bring about this fruit. In the end, the fruit that emerges, the increase, is all given by God. It's all given by God. That is something that we have to understand and to realize. At the same time, let's say, if you have been striving so hard in the ministry, and in the end, instead of seeing increased numbers, the numbers dwindle, or perhaps the numbers always stay the same, and it's a small number, also do not be discouraged, but also to understand there is this whole teaching of divine providence in labor. It could be that at this point of time, what God has given to you in your care are these very small numbers for you to look after, because perhaps you are not ready for the big numbers, or it's just God's plan for you, that's all. And to accept God's Lord in life, to be very contented with God's Lord in your life, and to carry on and to press on. That is something that we need to impress upon in our hearts. Very important, because otherwise we may end up saying, what profit have he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? We can very easily give up in the ministry. Oh, I've been serving in the harvest fields for so many years, especially for missionaries. It can be very lonely. I'm serving somewhere in the mission field. I am disconnected from the rest of the world. And then nobody knows the problems in which I'm suffering in. And then after all these 20 years, not one single soul came unto salvation. And then look at the church. The supporting church now is now questioning, why is it after 20 years still not one soul? One thing that we should be very careful about in evaluating missions is this. Never ever evaluate the success of a mission station based upon numbers. Because sometimes in God's time, like maybe for the first 10 years, this mission station may have no fruit. But then if the person, as long as he's faithful, as long as he's hardworking, as long as he's doing good work, and then he is not compromising the faith, and then the Lord has indicated that indeed it is God's will for this person to be there, then never destroy that work. Never. Because there are some churches who just look at this particular situation of these poor missionaries and they just conclude, just because there is no fruit, also therefore it cannot be God's will, and then therefore they take away the support just like this. What they have failed to understand when they do this is this whole concept of divine providence in labor. There is such a thing called divine providence. There's also such a thing called divine sovereignty and God's appointed time. Perhaps at the end, they may regret, because if it's God's will really for that person to be there, God may still use that particular person. And if you have read the stories of many of the missionaries, you realize, in the beginning years, for example, like William Carey, in the beginning years, no much fruit at all. And then suddenly towards the tail end, or perhaps even when the person dies, suddenly the fruit appears. It's not God's timing then. The God's timing then was to sow. The harvest increase only comes later on. That is something that we have always to bear in mind when evaluating all these things. Then also, right, when you come to verses 16 to verses 4, verse 3, you realize that this concept of divine sovereignty and providence, which applies to work, also applies with regards to justice, isn't it? Sometimes you go to the workplace, you will see that the evil triumph, very successful, and the poor, the righteous, they are often oppressed. And worst of all is, sometimes this oppression is even found in the courts of law. You look at verse 16. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. Then I say in my heart, okay, so you realize that this often happens. Even in the law court, the wicked, they are often upheld. One thing we have to thank God for is that here in this land,
we have a justice system that is very fair. Very, very fair.
This is not so in many countries where the justice system can be so corrupted. For example, there is a footballer that can be charged for evading tax, and then there is given 21 months of imprisonment. But these 21 months are in prison, he's not in prison. I mean, what kind of law is this? And it's in Singapore, 21 months in prison, you go straight. You know, even if you appeal, they appeal, but most likely appeal will fail and then probably will increase, right? Singapore is 21 months of imprisonment means 21 months of imprisonment. You go to jail. No? Well, this footballer, 21 months of imprisonment, still out there. He says he retired from international football, but he's still going to play soccer for a very rich club. I mean, what kind of thing? That is very unjust, right? But that is the kind of law courts that you have in other countries. Well, thank God Singapore is not like this. But that is exactly what will happen in many places of the world. And then you will find that the more money you have, the more you can actually get off scot-free with regards to wickedness and iniquity. And so you may complain, there is no justice, there is no justice. Well, what God would tell us here is this. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. Indeed, there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. Please do not think that these people will go off scot-free. One day you know the time of judgment will come. But then you will ask, why then did God want to wait until all the way towards the end where there is a great white throne judgment waiting for all those who are wicked and unbelieving? Why not judge now? Well, Solomon provides the answer. Verses 18 all the way to verse 22. I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, that they might see that they themselves are beasts. In other words, God sometimes permits all these things to happen upon the earth, this injustice to occur, so that when God truly and really judges, nobody can say that God is unfair, because the wickedness of man is laid bare for everybody to see. This is also true with regards to churches. Sometimes we wonder, why come there are problems that come up in churches, isn't it? And why come certain issues will arise? Why don't God, since God is sovereign, why don't God let churches always to remain in peace? Well, this is really to humble us and to teach us. It's really to bring out and to show us how wicked and sinful man is, isn't it? And sometimes all these things are purposely brought out to reveal hidden issues that we may not even be aware about. And God therefore allowed it to happen. And so sometimes when all these issues happen, we ask, why? Now understand also God's sovereignty and divine providence in all these things. Sometimes all these things are happening, there is a reason. You may not be able to see it now, but in due time, God will reveal. And many times these things happen is because what? To reveal, to show them that they themselves are beasts. And this one, especially with regards to these law courts here. Are they themselves are beasts? All these people are all wicked men. Let their wickedness be expressed so that when God judges, you know that God is true. And all these people who go about doing evil and wickedness, they have forgotten that they are not very much better than beasts. Right? The beasts one day will die, so they will die also. And so therefore, Solomon, right, you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. Right, this is always the end of those who are oppressed, right? And then many times they want to look for somebody to encourage or to stand beside them and to fight for them, don't have, no comforter. But how about the oppressors themselves? Well, they think they are very smart, right? The oppressors, they have power, but they also have no comforter. In other words, there's actually no comfort or joy or peace for them in life. So in the end, for all these unregenerate men who go about oppressing one another, what is best for them? Well, I praise the dead. I praise the dead. They may as well be dead. And the dead, one thing good about dead is they don't see all this wickedness in this world. So therefore, they are better. Of course, when Solomon is saying this, he's using it in terms of a poetic sense. Right? Poetic sense. Well, like this, you might as well be dead. Why? Because the dead don't see all this, all this vanity happening in the world. Oh, this is the sad truth of life. But one thing we do know is this. If we say that we are Christians, then we know that the day of vindication is coming. There is such a thing called the final judgment. All men will be judged. And that is something that we can take comfort in. Of course, we don't rejoice in men being judged. But nevertheless, we know that finally, the day of justice will come. But the very important message that we find written in these verses is this. This whole concept of divine providence and divine sovereignty. And that is something that we need to acknowledge in life. Right? For example, evil happens in our life. Right? And that is exactly what's written in the weekly day. God's permissive will. When evil happens in your life, why do such evil things happen? I have not done anything wrong, but it comes. Last like for Job, God's permissive will given to us to try our faith so that after that we will emerge even stronger. Right, for Job, he passed the first two tests. Right, the first one, the loss of his possessions, he passed the test. The second one, the loss of his health, all the boys, and then he has the wife who go there and say, why don't you curse God and die? Well, he did not sin with his lips. But the third test, the three friends who come trying to counsel, but in the end, ended up making him vex because they say, all these things happen in your life because you have sinned against God, which is not true. Then that one, that is where he began to struggle. And even after that, begin to complain against God. And then God, after that, have to show him his greatness and explain to him. And then after that, he say, repent. I learned from this, that thou art sovereign. Even all these things in my life, that I have in my life, is due to your divine sovereignty, divine providence. I accept it. You know, I repent. And from that, grew in his understanding of the power and magnificence of God. And after that, God blessed him with double. God's plan, God's divine providence, God's sovereignty in all things. So therefore, also in your labor, also the same. You work hard, sometimes things may not work out the way it happens. Well, understand that it's because God is overseeing everything. He has a plan. He knows why this is happening. You just need to take comfort that all things work together to them that love God. Sometimes it may be because if things are so successful, become very proud. Or sometimes it's because, when you go through all these things, and so therefore next time somebody has the same problems, you're able to comfort someone. It could be all these things. And the same also goes with regards to the ministry, to church work. Same, exactly the same principle. Divine providence in labor. What is our human responsibility that we need to work hard and do? If you don't work hard, you are lazy. Well, I think you have memorized enough verses of the week. Today, the verse of the week also on that, on diligence. You know that in the end for you, in the end, will be poverty. But always work hard. And what God provides for you, you know that it's always the best. That is His reward for you. You work hard with the right perspective, with always God in view. And what you will gain is spiritual prosperity. That is the best. So remember all these things. Divine providence in labor. Always acknowledge His divine hand in everything. Whether when He blesses, He gives much fruit, or whether it may appear to be barren. All things are under the control of God. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do give thee thanks that thou art sovereign over everything. And thou art also the master of our lives. And so, Lord, we want to submit ourselves under thy hand, indeed to deny ourselves, to take up our cross daily and to follow thee. And help us always in everything to have the right biblical perspective, and that we will be mature in all our ways to be Christ-like. And in times where there is no peace in the world, we know that thou can grant us the peace that passeth all understanding in the Lord Jesus Christ. So hear our humble cry as we commit all these things into thy loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.